Father in heaven, I thank you for this day that we join together under your name. And our souls do sing to you. We've found our home in Jesus Christ. We've found our home in the Father. And you've received us. You put your love on us. And this day, Lord, all we can do is turn to you and sing, looking forward to when we're with you all the more at the end of this life. But you said that eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. We dedicate this time to you, and we seek you and say, Holy Spirit, be the Spirit of truth in our hearing this day. And like David prayed in the Psalms, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things in your word today. May our mind be renewed today. May we see new things in the scriptures today. If there's anything in our beliefs that needs to be realigned, then do that, Lord. Do it in me, do it in all of us. A place on all the hearts and the minds of everyone gathered here, the spirit of understanding. Release it to every single person, young and old. That grace that helps us to see as we ought to see. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you for all that you've done and all that you will do. I thank you, your work continues. You're the living God, doing a living work in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. Have you ever had the spontaneous urge to dance? To do a move or... It's not really what I get into. I try to control myself, but I can remember being at one wedding. Some of you may have been there. And just stay with me if you weren't there, but when it got to the reception, the wedding was nice, but then when they got to the reception, they had a live band. And as soon as that live band started, everyone just went off. And it was such that even the most controlled person in that room, if you weren't careful, your arms and your legs would just start moving and you just start getting drawn in to the dancing. I remember sitting there just going, man, I want to be a part of that, but I didn't. I was probably too scarred from, I was part of the wedding party, and right before we walked out, they turned around and said, by the way, we're just about to do the bridal waltz as soon as we walk in the room. I was like, what? I turned to my partner and said, what are we going to do? And she said, you're the man, you lead it. Anyways, I was very embarrassed and just danced my way to my seat and sat down. But in that moment, you've probably been in a similar moment, either at a wedding or a birthday, and they start the music and then there's that one lone ranger that starts to dance, that gets it going, but spontaneously people, they're drawn to it. Just like sometimes you might have a friend that laughs, has a great laugh. And when they get laughing, you just want to laugh. I have a friend like that. I don't have a laugh. When I laugh a lot, I don't make a sound. But for them, they have a great loud laugh, and when they get going, I just want to laugh. Or smiling. When someone smiles at you in the street, you naturally want to smile back spontaneously. You don't have to think, wait a second, I identify a smile. I'm going to give one back. No, you just do it. Just like for other people or other men that may not be into dancing, when you're watching The Origin, you don't have to think hard about when to stand up and start yelling at the screen. Because Queensland's just run 100 metres and scored a try. And when New South Wales does something, You don't have to think about what to do, but I saw the last game at the Allenstown pub, and you don't have to tell anyone what to do. There's lots of yelling. Everyone's getting into it. But spontaneously, there's this response that happens to these different things in life. And I'm sure you can think of a situation that works for you, whether it's a wedding or a birthday, or whether it's dancing or smiling or laughing or football. We don't have to think, we just react. And I guess there's lots of things in life where we're reacting to, and often it's when we have to think about what our reaction should be that there could be a problem. So I want to look at a text today. It's one we're very familiar with. It continues on from some of the other things that have been discussed. It's in Luke 15, and we have three parables back to back. We have the sheep, the coin, and the sons. We all know these stories really well. And it goes kind of like this. Jesus is surrounded by those that were seen as the sinners, so the tax collectors and other people that weren't considered that they were gods, and the Pharisees were there too. And the Pharisees were grumbling. It says, the very first verse, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. And so Jesus, seeing this picture, he goes on to tell a story. And it's the lost sheep. So Jesus, knowing his audience, yet in his heart, completely loving those outcasts and those ones that were being grumbled against. And in that moment, knowing that the gospel was for these outcasts, that the Holy Spirit would come and would be given to Gentiles, that this message was bigger than what they had seen, and going against the culture of that time, seeing the heart of the Pharisees, those who claimed to know God, those who represented God, he told the story. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one? It says that he goes after the lost one until he finds it. He's seeking it. And then when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Notice that? Rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So Jesus is saying that to all these guys in front of him. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In all these parables, as we look at them today, I want you to think about the Father and the Father's heart behind each one. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees directly, he cares for the one. They're saying to him, why are you hanging out with these sinners? And he's saying for them, I care for the one. He cares for the one, and I think the encouragement we can get from that today is the one in your life. Whether it's a son or a daughter, whether it's a brother or a sister, or it's a husband or a wife that you're believing for, he's believing for them even more. And it says that when they are lost, he goes out of his way to search for them until he finds them, and he carries them back the heart of our Father is that none would be lost. He lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Man, that encourages my prayers. Because I know sometimes I pray like I've got to try and convince God to save or move in my family member's life or my friend's life. Whereas I'm reminded by this to go, you know what? No. Maybe I'm not like you, but I'm reminded to say, you want to carry them, Lord. You're searching for them. You want them. When this man, he picked up this sheep and took it back, the shepherd, and he calls together his friends and his neighbors to rejoice. So in this first parable, he gets that sheep, brings it home, and then he throws a party. Rejoice with me and celebrate with me, party with me. There's an invitation to come and join him to his friends and to his family. And who are we? Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. He's saying it to these Pharisees. You're not getting this. The gospel is for these guys. We don't have that kind of segregation in our culture right now. That's external, where we have those that are seen as the holy ones and those that are not. But what we sometimes could have, or what I find I struggle with, is I can be that Pharisee inside, the struggle internally, thinking, no, what about me, Lord? I'm doing all the good stuff. I'm the one serving you. And yet he's saying, it's not about the 99, it's about the one. He goes on to another story, continuing in the same flow with a very similar message, the same message. But this time, the main character is a woman. I'm sure there would have been women amongst them somewhere. And he talks about the coins. He says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors. Here's another party. Friends, come in. Neighbors, come in. I found a coin that had been lost." And he says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." A lost coin. If you got a call from your friend inviting you to a birthday party, well, not a birthday party, inviting you to a party, and you ask, what was the party for? And they said, well, I've just found a $2 coin, I've been seeking the house for it, I just didn't know where it was. What would you think? So what? $2 coin. It doesn't seem like the reason to have a party. Small, even small change. I don't carry change much at all. And I know from, like, if I see a 5-cent coin, I think, oh, look, 5 means grace, pick it up, collect the coin. But coins, in some ways, are disposable to some people. And I wouldn't know sometimes if I lost a few coins because everything's on the card. And so what I think, again, in another image, Jesus is saying, though coins are small, and so though coins don't mean much to us or aren't worth much, I am the one that will go out and seek for that coin which represents a lost soul. So even those that seem like they're not worth anything, I'm going to go and seek them until they're found. And a coin is stamped by its maker, and all people are created in the image of God. The Father wants his coins. She threw a party because she found that lost coin. I like how it says the lamp was lit. It makes me just think of the gospel, the fire of God's going out, helping them find these lost coins. We need to keep believing for our loved ones. Because the Father wants them more than we want them. And if they're more valuable to us than coins, right? And the Father goes out of his way to find that lost coin, that shows us how much more does he want them. This second story contains the party. Come and celebrate with me. He's saying it to the Pharisees, remember? Lost is found, come and celebrate. But there was something about those Pharisees that they're so guarded that they weren't going to enter into that celebration. And then he goes on and he tells the third parable, which we're familiar with too, the prodigal son. Again, as we look at this, think about the Father. And he said there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. This younger son, by saying what he said, was saying to his father's face, that he wanted his father to pass. He wanted his father gone, and he wanted all that he could just get from his father, not his father himself. You've done everything you can do for me. Give me my cash. I'm done. Hand it over. This is not acceptable in any culture. All over the world. It's just like such brash rudeness, but Jesus is showing us something through this story related to this situation that's before him. But I find that one sentence at the end quite amazing, speaking of the Father, that just says, and he divided his property between them. This is the Father. This is our Father. Like we heard of the love passage this morning, and it was in What's in the Bible, and Mr. Hood's mentioned it. And it's the passage that we often think about and share when we're talking about love for each other. But it also describes the love that God has for us. So that every one of those things is not arrogant, isn't proud, doesn't hold any record of wrongs. That's how God loves us. In an even greater way. But this Father, he doesn't challenge his son and say, son, you rude individual. He divided the property between them. He just gave. And that's the heart of our God. That he has so lavished his love upon us that he gives us the opportunity to choose. See, that's real love, that no matter what we do choose, he's given it to us. He's done it for us. And so we see the Father here. Even though it's such an arrogant thing to say to your father, the Father's like, okay, son. And that, it reminds me of Romans 5, 7, 8, where it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That while we're in that place, Christ gave himself. But the Father our Father freely gave his Son Jesus for us. We know what happens to the Son. The Son goes off, reckless living. And after basically coming to the end of his money, being in a point of starvation, realizing he's wrecked and wasted his life, says he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, verse 20, his father saw him. Before he's even getting near, the father knows, my son. My son's near. You can imagine him at home, just on a big land. He would have been such a rich man, big land holdings and, you know, big house. But just, God knows. While he was still way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said straight away, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fattened calf, kill it, let us eat and celebrate. It's another celebration. There was a celebration for the sheep, celebration for the coin, celebration for this son. Let's have a feast, celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate straight away. I could imagine in this day and age, as soon as that son running in, the father just grabbing him. And sounds crass, but take a selfie, quickly put it up on Facebook. Like, there's nothing resenting in the heart of this father. Like, if that was my son, my struggle would be, where have you been? Where's all that money I gave you? And he's looking at his son and his shoes are busted. Rembrandt painted a picture of this and the son's head's just shaved off. It's like he's lost his identity. It's like a criminal. And he's kneeling at his father and his father's just like, my son. No questions. No speculation, no suspicion, no gruff. Kind of like, oh, well, we're going to talk about this later. It's just like, get the robe, get the ring, get the new shoes. My son's home. Kill that fattened calf. Like, let's get this thing happening. Let's start a party now. There's no build up. There's no warm up. It's just like that love. And that's our Father. Unresenting love of our Father. That's what he shows to us all the time. There was no calculation in the father. There was no hurt that caused him to push his son away. He saw him from afar. And he spontaneously gave that response. Like that spontaneous smile that's easy for us to give. When we see one, our Father spontaneously responds to us with such lavish love. And yet, to many of us, up here, it's not there. Straight back to the place of love, provision, and care. And like the earlier stories, a celebration. Now, the older son, we know what happens with him, don't we? He's meant to be working in the field, and he was checking his status on Facebook and saw a picture of his dad hugging his son, and he went, yes! And he bolted home and he saw his brother and he grabbed him and was like, brother, I am so glad that you're here. This is awesome. We're going to have a party. He approached home and he heard the says he heard the music. He heard the dancing. He heard the celebration. And he was angry. There's some pattern here of a celebration. Again, we see the heart of the Father. I'm skipping some of the story here, but the older son wouldn't go in, and the father knew. And just like the father came out for the lost son, the father came out for that older son too. Tried to anxiously get him to come in and join that celebration. But then out of the overflow of the heart of that older son just came all of those things. The word, it says, has entreated him, so the father anxiously tried to plead with his elder son, come on. Like, the instant response of the father is love, and the instant response of the elder son is all these years, I've been slaving for you, and you never once gave me anything. And I never disobeyed your command, you never gave me a young goat, blah, blah, blah. It goes on, you know this, you know what he said. And when we listen carefully to the words of the elder son, how he attacks his father, self-righteous, self-pitying, jealous words, there is a deeper complaint. Excuse my sniffling. It is the complaint that comes from a heart that feels that it never received what it was due. I tried so hard, worked so long, did so much, and I haven't received what others get so easily. Why do people not thank me, not invite me, not play with me, not honor me, while they pay so much attention to those who take life so easily and so casually? It seems that this resentment, this built-up resentment over time, is what blocks this son from entering into the joy. That's meant to be shared by him. The resentment so permeates him that he can't even see what he actually has. He already had double portion of that estate. He already had everything his father had. But because of his resentment, what was piled up in his heart, it was like he had nothing. And he was slaving for it. What I find from this, and where the main point of this whole looking at these three stories, is in Jesus talking to these Pharisees and telling these stories, is that joy and resentment can't coexist in us at the same time. Because these Pharisees were resenting Jesus for spending time with those people that they thought were worthless. And yet when he tells this story, the elder son is just like those Pharisees. They're pleading, but Lord, we tithe, and Lord, we do this, and Lord, we do that. And yet, he's saying, you're missing out on the celebration here. And for whatever reason, they can't get into that party. They can't enter into that joy that's meant to be theirs, in celebrating and enjoying those that are coming to Christ. But I think it's more than that too, because sometimes, oh, thank you so much. What a legend. There's an invitation to joy. And we find it easy to think that invitation to joy, we can agree, we can go, yep, it's great when one person gets saved. It's really great, I can see that. But There's something about the kingdom that Jesus is often referring to the kingdom like a feast, like a wedding banquet. And we know that at these feasts and at these wedding banquets, there's life, there's joy, there's blessing, there's dancing, there's freedom. And so what if we're robbed from really being free in joy, right, every day in the feast that we share as we walk with Jesus, if we allow these resentments in our heart? And I know for me, even a little resentment goes a long way in the way that it blocks me. A friend of mine might get something cool, like a new camera, and I appreciate cameras. I can remember this happened when I didn't have a camera. And what was my initial thought? You beauty, what an awesome camera, I'm so happy for you. No. At the time, I probably didn't realize what was going on. But I start resenting. I start thinking, what about me? When am I going to get my stuff? I can take better photos than them. All toxic thoughts, all horrible things, all sin. And yet, I couldn't enjoy his gift because in my heart, I had that little resentment that then pushed me off. And so, when I look at these stories, and when I hear that thing between joy and resentment, I don't want resentment. I want to be that person that spontaneously erupts like the Father erupts. So whether it's like the Son saying, give my inheritance, there you go, son. When he comes back, there you go, son. When the elder son who has everything starts complaining, the father doesn't say, how dare you? He just says, but it's yours. It's just that love. And we see that in the Father, there's no resentment towards us. In the Father, it's just lavish. It's just abundant. It's just poured out. And we're all invited. We're all invited to this place of joy. There's a little girl, and her name's Quincy Simons. When she was 4 years old, they were on a family holiday on the Gold Coast. She woke up early in the morning to discover that her father wasn't home. She went up to her mum and said, Mum, where's Dad? And her mum said, honey, he's out surfing. So Quincy went and stood at the front door waiting for her dad. And when her dad got home, she said, Dad, I'm coming surfing with you tomorrow. And her dad said, Quincy, do you know what surfing is? No. By the age of 6, Quincy was sponsored, youngest professional surfboarder, skateboarder. She has medical conditions that would normally hinder someone from doing some stuff like that with her adrenaline. But here you have a girl that there's nothing in her mind that said she could not do that, and she did it. And the powerful thing I think about these three stories and resentment, and that if we allow it to build up and if we don't watch it and deal with it, that it not only hinders us in relationships, but it can hinder us from, say, trying something new, learning a language, starting a business. Because when we let it build up and we've tried something and it's gone wrong, we look at God and we're just like, we can be like that. I know I have. You don't look at him with that love that's really there of what he's really like. It's just like, I'm hard done by. When am I going to get my break? When is it going to happen for me? And yet he looks at us and he goes, everything is yours. But it comes back to that, dealing with that resentment, dealing with that issue in the heart that can hinder us from just doing anything. Would you close your eyes with me and we're not without hope. And this is not something that's necessarily an issue for everybody. But I know when we look at this story, we know the younger son came home. We don't know which way the elder son went, but we know the father hasn't changed. And we know that in his house, there's rejoicing, there's celebration, there's gladness. He's quick to enjoy, he's quick to appreciate us, he's quick to bless us. And that's our father. And despite whatever we find ourselves in right now, whether like the younger son coming from a past, whether like the elder son struggling with things, our Father loves and heals us. If today you feel like, yep, I got to come home, you can do that. Or if today you feel like straight away you've got things in your mind, resentments, hurts, jealousies, bitterness, claiming things that aren't yours, feeling hard done by, there's grace for you too. Because the truth is we are all being called to go from the younger to the Father, that we ourselves would exhibit and show and enjoy the freedom of that love with one another. If you feel like today you want to respond, you want to have someone pray with you, you want to surrender some stuff to Christ, then I want to give you the freedom to do that. Feel free to wander forward as I pray and someone will pray with you. Father God, I thank you that you're the perfect, good, loving Father of joy, like we have never known. And I thank you today that wherever we're at, renewing us in that joy to really see you for the good Father that you are. And by your hand and Holy Spirit and great power, we surrender our souls to you. We surrender our struggles to you, Lord. We lay them at your cross, and I thank you for the grace that you give to those that are humble. The freedom that we find in you to overcome every one of these heart issues. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. May our minds and our hearts be renewed in your loving grace this day. You are good. And I pray that every heart and mind would dwell and rest in that rejoicing place that you have invited us to be in. Not just when people come home, get saved, but Lord, every day. Because it's where you are.